Hello and welcome to The Word and Me. This is your host, Vanessa Morris. This program is presented by the Emerald Rose Center San Diego. I hope you are having a wonderful day on today. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for our health and strength. We thank you for keeping us in our right minds. Lord, we thank you for your protection and your provision, Lord. May you bless in a mighty way, Lord. You know the needs of every listener. You know where their heart is. You know what situations that are approaching their lives and what they are confronted with. Lord, I pray that you make a way of escape so they may be able to bear it. And I pray that you strengthen them and give them courage on today and give them wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, on John chapter 5, we were finishing up John chapter 5 from our last few days. And John chapter 5 just kind of ends in when Jesus was talking, finishing with the Pharisees about telling them, you search the scriptures, but the scriptures testify of me, and that they receive honor one from another, but he looks for honor from God. And so he concluded speaking with them, and then he began to go on in chapter 6 to feed the 5,000. But we're going to come back to that. What I would like to do is jump over to Matthew. Jump over to the book of Matthew, starting with verse 5. And it is called the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, or the Betitudes. I mean, people translate that or say that in several different ways, but we say the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. And it's where Jesus begins to sit down and teach. Now, in verse 23 of Matthew 4, it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." And there were just a multitude of people following him. And he goes up into the mountain and begins to speak. I'm going to read chapter 5, starting at verse 1. It says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set," means when he was seated, "his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And that was ending on verse 8. So he began to teach the people. I'm going to read a little bit of something in my commentary. The opening verses of the Sermon on the Mount indicates that this message deals with the inner state of mind and heart that is the indispensable absolute of true Christian discipleship. It delineates the outward manifestation of character and conduct of a true believer and genuine disciple. So Jesus begins to talk about character and the state that people were in, that were following him. And we're following him today, many of us. And when he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," there are times when we are poor in spirit. We are depleted. We are low. We are down. And these are the disciples, the followers of Jesus. And there are times still when we become poor in spirit. But it gives hope there. And it says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It means that even though through this life we will suffer tribulation, but God shall deliver us out of it all, there is going to come a time when the poor in spirit will inherit the kingdom of heaven. All this down here, this suffering and this tribulation and persecution, it's not for naught. It's going to have an end that is going to be worth it all. It says in Scripture, I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Reckon, meaning, you know, what is that word reckon? That word reckon is like you're counting it up. You are counting up that cost, that you're calculating that cost. And he's saying, Paul is saying that, and he said, I reckon I've counted up the cost. And he says, I count my life as dung, meaning that what is going on here, down here in this earth, when it is compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us, when the time when we are with Jesus, it will be nothing. It will be nothing. So these scriptures, the Beatitudes, gives us hope. And verse 4 says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. There's a scripture in Revelation that talks about when this is all said and done, there will be no more crying. There will be no more pain. There is going to come a day when we will not mourn. We will not be sorrowful of heart. There will be no more death. There will be no more dying. There will be no more cancer. There will be no more diseases and sicknesses. There will come a day when we will not cry. We will not be saddened trying to figure out what do we do about this problem. It is going to be done away with. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, the land, those that are humble. There's a saying about the good guys finish last. Well, not according to God. No, they will not finish last. It will not be for naught. You know, a lot of times people take your kindness for weakness. You're kind to them. You don't get riled up and somebody curses at you or goes off on you and you don't go off back, or you try to remain professional in a work atmosphere, or even if it's in a social atmosphere with family or church, and you try not to raise your voice or yell or scream, and people take that for weakness. But you know what? It's not a weakness. It takes tremendous strength and courage and effort to submit yourself under the authority of God and ask God to come in and help you to bite your tongue. It is not easy. So let them believe that they're taking it for a weakness. That's okay. That's okay if they believe that, if they believe that they got the best. We have to concern ourselves with not worrying about what men think, but what God thinks. And then, blessed are they that endure hardness like a good soldier. We are enduring hardness like a good soldier when we do it for the glory of God. We do it not because we're afraid or fearful, but we do it because it is the right thing to do. That is worthy of honor and respect from the Lord. And lastly, for today, it says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We are going to continue with that on tomorrow with the Beatitudes. May you be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.